Hi, I'm Josh, and I run an actual play podcast that I'd like you to check out. I'm using the Godbound system, and I create a sandbox-style game in a large city called Moxhiri. All of the player characters are evil, and I think that this really creates an interesting narrative because...
Nobody cares! I, Azrael, had to reconfigure reality to become the evil saint of Paelor. Now I plan to overthrow the government of Moxhiri and amass followers. Then I will become...
You wouldn't know the first thing about reconfiguring reality. I did it, not you. I, Milana, want no part of your feeble plan. When my plan comes to fruition, all of Moxhiri will become my undead army, with them at my command.
They have to be dead before they become undead. I'm going to silence this entire city and prove myself. Prove Gerlach worthy of the goddess of the void.
No! Leave the monsters. I, Nuak Godslayer, will raise an army of monsters. They will overthrow our human leaders and live free. And I will be there.
Well, oh, you quit your bickering and shut your faces. I, Brimstone, hear enough voices in my head without all of you talking over each other. All I want to do is kill the wizard Shalazar. It doesn't sound too difficult, does it?
If I have my way, it will be. Check out Tales from Moxhiri wherever you find your podcasts or geekspective.com.
All right, you're back. Yay, it's been a hot minute since we have done any of this. So welcome, dear listener. So what we're doing today is playing No Country for Old Kobolds by Steve Wallace. It is a hack of Dungeon World and World of Dungeons. So it has the really good PBTA sort of aspects to it. And I'll get more into that in a bit. But first, let's go ahead and meet our players.
Hi, I'm Kevin. You can find me on socials at @knit_knack, and don't follow me, but you can follow the people that I follow, who are cool people. I have not played this game before, and I've been prompted to say my favorite fantasy creature might be Lynels from Breath of the Wild. The majestic, like, centaur lion dudes, like, real big, buff, beefy dudes.
That's really cool.
I'm looking this up right now. Hold on one second. We're all pausing real quick to look this up. Ooh, okay.
Nice. One of the more unique fantasy creatures I've seen in the last couple of years. I really like them.
Okay, I stand. It's a really buff centaur looking like character. Nice.
No emphasis on just how buff and attractive these things are. That has nothing to do with it.
Of course not. No.
Hi, I'm Kate. My pronouns are she, her. You can find me on the socials at Argon Kitten. I have not played this game before. And my favorite fantasy creature, probably, golly, I like all kinds of fantasy creatures. I'm a big cryptozoology fan. But my favorite, I'm going to say, goes all the way, 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 way back to the very first Magic the Gathering card I bought myself, is the Jackalope.
Hi, I'm Kristen. I use she, her pronouns. You can find me on Twitter at Kristen is no Jedi. I think my favorite fantasy creature right now is a mermaid for two reasons. One, my three-year-old daughter loves mermaids, so we play mermaids and read about mermaids all the time. And two, because one of my favorite people just recently played a mermaid in a creepy game called Crossroads Carnival that you can also find on PBTP.
All right, I'm Diana Lorraine. My pronouns are she, her. You can find me on all of the social media at Modcaster, M-A-U-D-C-A-S-T-E-R. I haven't played this before, and my favorite fantasy creature, I think I'm going to have to stick to my pony roots and go with a Pegasus. I like ponies that fly. They're just cool.
And I'm Morgan. I will be your... Hi, I'm Morgan. My pronouns are they, them, and she, her interchangeably. You can find me on all the socials at Serena Bezos. I have never played this game before, so I'm in this with y'all. And my favorite creature, other than mermaids and jackalopes, would have to be cactus cats, which is another Southwest sort of creature that basically look like cactuses and they're cats, and then like they'll like howl in the night and then like open up cactuses and like let the juices ferment and drink the juices and get drunk. And it's a fun little lore from the Southwest that I really appreciate. So. No Country for Old Kobolds is a game for 3-6 players who want to explore the world of kobolds, small lizard-like or dog-like humanoids that are always regulated to the lowest rung of society. No Country for Old Kobolds is a tabletop pen and paper RPG based on Dungeon World by Sage LaTorre and Adam Coble, and World of Dungeons by John Harper. While it maintains some of the core mechanics of these two games, it has been heavily modified to better fit the world of kobolds. You'll play champion kobolds, the best of the best, protecting your village from the kingdoms that you created during the game setup. As your kobolds die, they pass traits down to their children, each generation getting stronger and more capable. You'll fight for your village in a game of survival, heroism, and dark comedy. In this game, the players try to keep their kobold village thriving at all costs, exploring the kobold's place in the world your group has created together. Kobolds might go on missions to fill some village need, adventure to discover some magical items that will allow them to finally defeat a neighboring region, attempt to pit two powerful countries against each other in order to start a war, or really anything else that they can think of to help their village. So, that is the game. What do y'all know about kobolds? Honestly, like, I know just basic D&D, like, level one, they're our main foes. That's about it. Any other fun facts that y'all know about them?
Yeah, I just knew that they're level one, so they get killed a lot. That's about it.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Same. I know the element kobold is named after kobolds.
Really?
Okay.
The person who discovered kobold named them after, like, the traditional fantasy creature of kobolds, which are, like, interchangeable goblins, I believe. That's about all I know.
That's I did not know that. That's fun. That is fun information.
I'm sure somebody will tell me I'm wrong.
Boo on them for not being fun.
Do not at Kevin about
this. Don't do it. How dare you?
We'll come for you.
Don't at me, bro.
All right. So with all that information, really, honestly, like any PPTA game, you need your 2d6 for yourself. However, there are more dice than there typically are in this game. So you'll need a d4, a d8, a d10. So either if you have dice on hand, please use it. If not, you're more than welcome to use the internet for any dice rolling capabilities. Real quick, I want to talk about tone of the game, because it does state that we can get into like heroism or survival or dark comedy. What mood are y'all in right now? What kind of game do y'all want to like bring to the table? Do y'all want to have something fun? Do y'all want to have like to like go discover things? You want to go fight things? Like what?
Seems like the game leans a little bit more comedy with the way like it's presented, with like some of the feats and the some of the art in here. They've got like luchador kobolds and things like that. Things like "fuck you, we have a dragon."
they seem to be leaning into the comedy of it, agreed.
A little more questy.
All
right, so comedy quest. So tone is a great thing to talk about. We did talk about some lines and veils, so if there's anything y'all want to add, please do so. Any expectations, put in the wishes area. We will try to incorporate them in, and if you have any questions so far, please ask.
I'm good on lines and veils. I think I put all my stuff in there.
Looks good to me for now.
Yeah, looks good for now.
All right, so I guess we'll get into some Session Zero stuff. In No Country for Old Kobolds, nearly everything is generated collaboratively. We'll start by creating the world, then we'll create the village, and finally we'll each create the first member of your family. To begin, each of you will create one of the countries that surrounds your village. You each have a country card in front of your... I can't read. You each have a country card in front of you. Answer the questions on the card. Once everyone is finished, we'll go around the table and describe the countries. Then using your village as a center point, you will draw a landmark to represent the country on the map. It will be the capital city, a dungeon that exists in the country's borders, a road, a forest, or anything else you can think of. Everybody has finished their countries. Go ahead and introduce your country that you've introduced to this world, their champion, and any notes you have about them.
So this is the country of hallucinations, and our champion is Brussels sprouts, which is just Brussels sprouts, the vegetable.
Not sentient at all.
Nope. Just Brussels sprouts. They are used as our champion.
Okay.
And just a fun fact about our country. There are hot tubs aplenty. They're everywhere. Just for use. Like, nobody owns the hot tubs. There are hot tubs for everyone.
Yeah.
Is it hot tubs or hot springs? Just or
hot tubs.
Nice. Specifically. No one actually had to build the vessels and just left them.
There was a benevolent hot tub builder, George.
Mm-hmm. The market just fell through. They had nowhere to send them.
They're just like, all right, cool. We're just going to put them here. That's
they just set them up.
Yeah.
This looks like an empty Philip Russell spout. Let's just, here you go.
I feel like that might have been George's intent, was that was how he was going to cook the Brussels sprouts. That never came to fruition.
Oh. Do the Brussels sprouts avoid, well, I was going to ask if they avoid the hot tubs, but they're not sentient, so they don't know what they're doing.
They're just
Brussels sprouts.
Okay, I'm sorry for making this bigger than it is, Diana. You're right.
But they're what nuts. Is their complex feelings and thoughts about this invasion of hot tubs?
We are they're playing just a new Brussels game. Sprouts.
They don't have feelings.
They're not special. They're just Brussels sprouts.
Sure, they're the champion of the country, but
I mean, they haven't made it onto the flag, so.
Oh, okay. Yeah. But also, is there
are they uncooked?
Ooh. It varies.
Some
are cooked.
Wow. In bacon fat.
That's a waste of a Brussels sprout. Come on.
It is not. It is good.
They're good in bacon fat.
It's a waste of a Brussels sprout to cook it in bacon fat and then use it defensively. That's my argument.
Yes, to use fair.
Yes.
To eat.
Unless it's still good. Hot and then you could throw it at someone and the bacon fat would burn them.
But then you're not eating it. That's a waste of bacon fat.
Okay, because you could use another hot grease is what you're saying. This is all staying in.
Like, absolutely. Who's our neighbor?
Oh, God. One of your neighbors is the Purple Woods. Their champion is a pack of centaurs. They do not have hot tubs aplenty. I think they're very envious of their neighbor's hot tubs. They have a large forest landscape with a bunch of hidden caves. And they also have a plethora of tiny pizza-loving fairies who carry thumbtacks as swords. To defend their pizza from people who may want to take their delicious pizza before they have finished devouring it.
Question. Are the pizzas also tiny?
No, they are regular sized pizzas and the fairies just like ascend upon them and devour.
I just think of a pizza rat instead of a rat.
Yes!
Fairy. Yes, pizza
rat. But tiny fairies.
To tiny fairies, it's just like three fairies trying to just drag this pizza down into New York subway, like
yeah.
That's the image I got.
I love it.
And their little thumbtacks in case someone tries to steal their pizza. They're not having it.
Little awesome. Shields that are like the plate that holds up the box.
Yes.
Oh, the little like white little table thingy.
Yeah, the table.
100% yes. Thank you for that, Kevin.
But question though, who makes the pizzas? Is it the centaurs?
It's the centaurs.
Okay.
Yeah, it's the centaurs.
So they all have the chef aprons.
So they all have the aprons, yes. And they make the pizza and then they leave the pizza out for the fairies. We don't know why. Maybe we'll find out in game. Probably not. Listeners, write us. Why? Why do the centaurs leave pizzas for the fairies? Let us know. All right, that's Purple Woods.
Neighbor to the Purple Woods is the country of Mor Templar. The champion is one cranky unicorn, and the unicorn is grumpy because he's lonely, and the edges of the country are ill-defined at best.
That is.
That's terrifying. You go into Mor Templar, and you can never leave. You can never escape. The one.
No, you can. You just have to find the right exit point.
Okay. You gotta like mark on chalk like by where you entered, and then like it's hopefully you find that piece of chalk. So, what is the unicorn's name, or is he just known as the cranky unicorn?
He's just the cranky unicorn.
Okay,
he's
cranky. Valid.
Neighboring Mor Templar is Solier, who is championed by Louis the Tyrant. They are gross colonial humans who all speak in funny accents. They're not based on any real life colonial nations at all. None
whatsoever.
Zero.
From the genius of your brain.
Exactly.
Amazing.
Do we know anything about Louis the Tyrant other than he sounds like a bit of a jerk, perhaps?
He has a deathly fear of guillotines.
Wow. Okay.
Is he one of a long line of Louis? Perhaps?
He is.
Are there a lot of guillotines in the area?
You know, I think there are. I think there's an infestation of guillotines. There's just a...
Yeah, kind of like the hot tubs. This company produces guillotines.
That's how they cut all things. That's how they slice bread. That's how they slice cheese. Everything. That's with a guillotine.
They're like, yeah. They're like, oh... Why? It's like we just have a knife. No, use the guillotine for your watermelon.
Exactly.
Like, exactly.
The Gallagher of watermelon slicing.
Yes.
Yes.
All right. So we have created our countries, which all are fantastic. I cannot wait to at least dip our toes into some of them because it being a one shot, we probably won't be able to see all of them. But like, we'll see essence of them affecting our village, maybe, hopefully. Now it's time to create your village. This is the central character in No Country for Old Kobolds. To create your village, decide as a group where to assign stats and which advanced moves you want to take. Remember, kobolds don't receive XP. Instead, every time you miss, you mark 1 XP for your village. Advanced moves for your village cost either 7 XP or 14 XP. Look into that later. Village stats detail what sort of village you have. They determine how much population you have, how well your village works together, how well it makes war, how well hidden it is from murder hobos, and how clever your village kobolds are in the face of obstacles. As a group, you should distribute the following numbers between your stats, 3, 2, 1, 0, and negative 1. How you will distribute these will have a direct effect on how your village performs in the game. Your population is a plus 4 hardiness. If your population reaches 0, your village is raised and you felled as kobolds. Oh, and you probably all died. So stats are hardiness, how healthy your village is and how many kobolds live within it. Ingenuity, how clever and industrious your village is in the face of danger. Teamwork, how well your village works together toward common goals. Secrecy, how well your village keeps itself hidden using camouflage or trickery, or both. And warfare, how well your village can go on the offensive in order to protect itself.
Okay, so we have a 1 in hardiness, a 3 in ingenuity, a 2 in teamwork, a negative 1 in secrecy, a 0 in warfare, and then our population is 4 plus hardiness. Okay.
So that's a 5.
A 5. Okay.
Excellent. All right. Who is the oldest kobold in your village? How old are they and how did they get so old?
I think it has to be someone who, I don't know, it could be someone who maybe acts as like a seer and so they don't leave often and that's how they've survived is simply by hiding a lot.
All right, so we have Old Sal, who was a seer who got lost in the woods. How old are they?
7.
7. 7 years old. That is a long time for a kobold. Mm-hmm. Boom, done. Beautiful. Okay, next question. And this is talking about birth rate, which we said, so dear listener, there is a thing with these games, much like the Warrens, if you ever played the Warrens, where they'll go into like legacy play, where you keep playing continuous characters. And with that, they'll talk about birthing or breeding or all that stuff. So this is another question. We can answer it. However, we can just skim past it, y'all, if we want to. Mm-hmm. Birth rate is paramount to your people. What is it about the site that allows you to... for such accelerated birth rate, what want does this create for your village? So we don't have to really get into the birth rate itself, but more like how is this a striving area for our population?
Is the question, how is this area good for breeding? I mean, romance feels like the answer. Maybe there's a restaurant that overlooks the hot tubs, Kate.
The hot tubs are the tables at the restaurant.
Yes.
What?
One giant patio.
Doesn't seem sanitary anymore, but okay.
They're kobolds.
They are lizard-like creatures.
I'm not saying it's wrong by any means. In fact, it's right.
Slash dog creatures.
Fair, fair.
What sickness ravages your village each fall? What must you leave your village to collect in order to stave off its effects? Add this as a want for your village.
Okay. Dance fever.
Yes.
Is this like the French dance of 15?
Yes, the dancing plague.
Oh my gosh.
Yes.
Dance. So much sense.
Dance fever.
Oh my gosh.
More cowbell.
They need more cowbell.
So dance fever. So people just start randomly dancing out in the streets each fall.
Like you do, yeah.
What must you leave your village to collect in order to stave off its effects?
Pizza.
Pizza. Ooh. You have to go fight the fairies for the pizza.
You have to fight the fairies for the pizza.
I mean, if you're full of pizza, you probably don't feel like dancing anymore. Exactly. So that makes complete sense to me.
Oh, but it's a special pizza.
Yeah, it's their special.
Special pizza.
Okay.
What is it? Margarita pizza?
No, like pizza, Hawaiian pizza.
Last question. What critical resource is always in short supply? How do you acquire this resource? Add this as a want for your village.
Pogs.
Yep.
The little cardboard pogs.
Okay. Pogs. Okay.
Pogs.
Why? Why do we need them?
They're critical to all of our schemes and inventions.
That's part of our romance rituals.
Oh my god.
That's primary industry is making slammers.
Oh god.
No. Part of how we show how cool we are is by playing pogs. And then you can give your favorite pog and or a very special slammer that you've had made to your intended romance partner.
The person you would like to.
Pogs.
So pogs are a resource that we need in our village.
Yeah.
Where do we typically find pogs?
They're special pog trees. Beyond the forests.
See, I was going to say in hallucinations.
Oh.
Okay.
In the depths of the Brussels sprouts, there are some pog trees.
It's a pog bush. And if you shake it just right, the pogs will fall out. If you cut down the pog bush, you'll get a slammer.
Oh. Wow.
All right. Now we'll build your family and the first kobold in that family. First, choose a family name. This is the name of your kobold's family carried from generation to generation. Next, choose how your family looks. These are just basic traits that most family members tend to have. Eyes, horns, frame, scales. So yeah, go ahead and pick all that first. And then once you've chosen your names and looks, we'll move on to stats and abilities. We'll assign a stats now. Stats are the numbers you'll add to your rolls to determine how the outcomes of events. Kobolds have 6 stats: strength, how much you can lift, how hard you can punch; dexterity, how nimble-fingered you are, how well you can hide; constitution, how hardy you are, how much punishment you can take; intelligence, how smart you are, how quickly you learn; wisdom, how well you can apply what you know; common sense, quote unquote; charisma, how well liked you are by the other kobolds. You're never liked by other races. Oh. We'll change that. We'll fight these stereotypes together. For your first generation kobolds, you get the assign the following to your stats in any order you want. 1, 1, 0, 0, -1, and -2.
Oh.
0, 0, -1, and -2.
Uh-huh. Cool. All future kobolds will inherit their parents' stat block and some of their abilities. So think about what kind of family you want to build. Choices you make now will influence future generations. If you look at the ability sheet, you'll notice that each one uses a particular stat or set of stats. Your first generation of kobolds will get 2+ wisdom abilities, and future generations will inherit 1 ability from the parent, and then get 1 additional 1+ wisdom. You should discuss with the group which abilities you think you would like to take as long as to keep the village balanced. So go ahead and pick your abilities now. So like I said, it's 2+ whatever your wisdom is. Has everybody picked their abilities?
I think so, yeah.
Okay. Last thing is, now we'll roll for hit points. Hit points represent how much damage your kobold can take. Roll 1d6 and add your con to your roll. You'll get to re-roll hit points when you return to the village each time create a new generation of kobold. Once everyone has time to choose stats and abilities, we're ready to play. All right, I think everybody is ready to go. I guess we can do introductions now for who wants to go first and introduce their character.
I will be playing Mox Pebblefeet. They have cat eyes, They have two horns, but one of them is chipped off, not quite like Hellboy, but like at the halfway point. They are short with green and purple scales. I went off book there in case the designer is listening. Yes, I did. It was a creative choice. The abilities I took are Tinker and Pet. So I'm our thief druid, maybe. And I have -2 in charisma. So I'm guessing really no one likes me. But maybe she doesn't know it. Yeah, that's Mox.
I am Zor Snacko, he, him pronouns. Zor has black eyes, red horns, gray scales, and a very thin frame. Zor is skilled with the abilities of Cure and Bless, with a 0 charisma and a -2 in strength. So not entirely unlikable, but definitely very weak.
Real quick, because you're playing a character that has like Bless and Cure. Is there like some sort of like being or essence or entity or deity that your character looks up to or like draws their energy from? Or
Great Rapinski, the Great Rapinski.
Please write that down somewhere because we will forget.
I'm going to.
It's like all hail Rapinski.
Kevin, thank you for joining us for this wild ride. That is this game.
My pleasure.
These three, I know they can handle it, but you're new to this chaos. So, all right,
that's what we do.
Who's next?
I will be playing Nyang Bu, with pronouns he, they. Nyang has no horns, wide eyes, crooked frame and iridescent scales. They're like white and like they sparkle like that green purple, like kind of like the way gasoline looks.
I love that. Iridescent. That's so nice.
Yeah. Cool.
And they are very weak. They have a -2 in strength. They're not that wise with a -1 in wisdom, but they're a little charismatic with a 1.
Question, because you have command.
Yes.
How does a kobold get into the rites of summoning things? Like how did
you know what it is? They, I think our village at one point was contracted by a wizard of some sorts. Their moral values are not for us to judge, but Nyang like learned a couple of things, and they seem to be commanding and summoning their dead puppy. they roll the bones and the puppy comes down.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Dark. I like it.
Oh my god, so good.
I just couldn't let go, my friend.
I mean, that's understandable. I understand that. But also, okay, cool. last one. Who is it?
Me. All right. I am playing Nail Foghorn. I've got mean eyes. I've got 2 chipped horns. Actually, one of my horns is like turned a different way at this point. It's so like chipped and jacked up. And I've got green scales and I'm very short. And I have, my abilities are confounding performance and a big ass sword.
How big is it in compared to you?
It's easily as tall as me and like half my body weight.
It's very anime.
Yes.
It's an anime style sword.
I'm thinking very Titus, like Titus's big ass sword. I forgot what it's called, but yeah.
Yes. Like I could probably hide behind my sword if I wanted to.
But oh, that's like one of those wide blades. Like,
yes.
Oh, nice.
Yes.
That's awesome.
With a tiny hilt.
Tiny little hilt. Okay, so those are our players, those are our characters that are in this. Our village, does it have a name?
Probably.
Yeah, it does.
Not that we know it.
Yeah. Von Nyperg. Yeah.
That's it.
That's it.
Yeah.
Von
Nyperg.
And what is our area like? Because we're in between this big old forest and the Mort Templar, which is like a paradox of time and space. and then hallucinations, which is a field of Brussels sprouts. So we're kind of out in the open because we don't have any secrecies, but
sure.
We're clever. So
it's no country for old bolts, so it's dusty and tumbleweedy.
Dusty and tumbleweedy.
Just some Brussels sprouts just fly by.
The dried
up like salt plain.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That one general store where you buy your pogs and your slammers.
That's it. We put up some like those like cardboard like you know like the wood post up signs that says like no town here.
Yes.
Yes.
All right, so we have our world, we have our village, we have our characters, our kobolds that we're using right now, because you know more are going to come along the lines. So that's it, and go ahead and join us next time for actual gameplay and see where this chaos goes.